This is Pirates of Savannah, The Hunt for Seamus's Booty, by Taryn P. Lupo and Ruby N. Hilliard, narrated by Adam Lishawa. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the artists by purchasing the book at www.amazon.com or www.lupolit.com. Chapter 9. Mohammed, this summer has got to get better.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. Crystal let go of Odessa's shoulder and hugged her roommate. Some people on this planet are so selfish, and I can't believe her mama was that rude, too. I know that was hard to share.
Leo cut in on the uncomfortable, emotional moment.
You know, what's creepy is that the three of us said the same thing. This summer has got to get better. What are the chances of that? I mean, it's like we made some cosmic wish, and fate threw us together.
It is even creepier than you think, Leo.
I also said that exact phrase, Mo confessed.
A chill ran up their backs, but they continued to march slowly through the slop. Leo's superstitious side took over.
Yeah, that is crazy. Now I'm positive that greater forces are at play here. I'm telling you, this is like supernatural stuff going on.
Wiki wiped the tears from her eyes and cut off the excited boy's ramblings.
Go on, Mo. Tell us what happened to you.
Mo really did not want to share his embarrassing story, but since the others had been so open, he took a chance. He was in great form today, and Mohammed nailed the new piece perfectly. The band camp teacher was so impressed that he pulled the boy prodigy aside to talk to him privately at the end of class.
Son, I don't know what your father was talking about when he enrolled you. He told me that you needed a great deal of help.
Well, my dad has never seen me perform but once. The only time he came and watched, it was a disaster. Sweat got all over my keys and my fingers kept slipping off the valves. So now he thinks I am terrible and embarrassing to the family name. I already don't play a classical instrument as my Muslim father would prefer, and to be honest, it causes a lot of tension around my house,
Mohammed confessed.
I will be happy to tell him you made fantastic progress during this camp. Don't worry, I will give you a good report, and I hope that will help make things better for you at home. I had a father that was hard to please too, so I understand,
the instructor related.
Mohammed was gracious. You are a good man. Thank you for your help. Now, I need to go to the band room and return my sheet music.
It has been a fun week. I really enjoyed the pieces you chose for me. They were challenging, but still cool.
The teacher responded, Thanks. I think you sure did nail those movements. You made everyone else look lazy.
He half laughed at his own joke and continued, Now, go drop off your sheet music and have a great summer. Mohammed ran to the band room to turn in his folder. When he arrived, four other boys had already dropped off their music and were talking in hushed tones. When Mohammed walked into the room further, the chatting stopped, and all their eyes turned to the Ugandan wearing the Muslim prayer cap. The boy prodigy stopped in his tracks and looked questioningly at them.
What?
Cooper, the red-headed second-chair trumpet player, snapped,
Why can't you just chill out? When you practice so hard, it makes the rest of us look bad. We are getting sick of hearing all the praises the teacher throws at you. Every time I screw up, he compares me to you and tells me to work harder.
The whole concept of laziness was lost on Mohammed.
So why don't you practice harder? Practice is fun.
Cooper retorted, No, practice is a pain. I hate practicing. I'm only in band so I don't have to take other classes that are even worse.
Mohammed was confused.
So why would you sign up for a summer band camp if you don't like it?
Because my stupid parents made me. I don't want to be here with losers like you.
The three other boys jeered at his insult. Mohammed suddenly became nervous as the group of boys slowly surrounded him.
I just want to drop off my music and be on my way,
the African boy pleaded.
Cooper's gang rallied in closer. I think we need to take you down a notch and remind you that you're not better than us. Fellas, grab the muzzy!
The group of boys quickly overwhelmed Mohammed, and his trumpet and sheet music flew across the floor.
Okay, I will play worse. I will stop practicing,
the African boy shouted.
I don't believe you, Cooper shot back. I am sick of you acting so smart. You talk about politics, sci-fi, and how great it is to be Muslim. I'm plain sick of you. We are going to give you something to remember and remind you to just shut up from now on. Hold him down good, fellas, till I get back.
Mohammed struggled to get free, but the three boys pinned him to the floor. Cooper returned with his lunchbox. Everyone in the room looked confused. His minions could not figure out what a lunchbox had to do with humiliating their captive.
Is it true you Muslims can't touch anything from a pig or your god will get angry with you?
The red-headed boy smiled. Please, I said I was sorry. Don't bring my religion into this too,
Mohammed begged. Cooper took his time as he separated the ham from the bread in his sandwich. He enjoyed watching the young Ugandan boy struggle to get away. The red-headed boy giggled with delight as he wiped the ham all over Mohammed's face. The captive boy screamed and fought, but could not get away from the greasy, unholy attack.
Cooper pressed the ham about his nose. Take a good whiff of it, Moslem, because you're about to eat every bit of this piggy. Oink, oink!
Mohammed bucked and wiggled. Please, stop! Why are you doing this? Stop!
What's going on here? The teacher yelled at the boys, who were now squirming on the floor. Cooper and his gang immediately let go of their victim and tried to pretend they were not just assaulting Mohammed.
Mohammed had tears in his eyes as he stood up and used his sleeve to wipe the pig juice off his face.
Mohammed, were these boys just attacking you?
The man questioned. The African boy looked at his victimizers. He wanted to tell the teacher what had just happened, but he knew the boys would just hurt him worse the next time if he told the truth.
No, sir. I just fell.
It didn't look like that. It looked like these boys were pinning you to the ground, trying to force you to eat something.
He turned to Cooper's posse.
Y'all need to get out of here now. Your parents will be hearing from me very soon.
The squad of thugs collected their things as they cursed their bad timing.
Mohammed, I'm going to wait with you until your parents come pick you up. I need to tell them what happened, his teacher informed with concern.
Mohammed responded, No, please don't.
It is hard enough being the only Muslim kid in school. I don't want to be singled out even more. Please, don't tell my parents. They will make this into a huge thing about religious discrimination.
It's your call, but I think you should tell them, the teacher urged. The boy cried, Please, don't say anything. I have a hard enough time making friends and fitting in. If my parents start a fight with the school board over this, it will never end for me.
Okay, Mohammed. Whatever you want, buddy. We can just wait here till your dad comes to pick you up, the instructor consoled. Mohammed wiped the tears from his face and belted out,
This summer has got to get better!
This is Pirates of Savannah, The Hunt for Seamus's Booty, by Taryn P. Lupo and Ruby N. Hilliard, narrated by Adam Lishawa. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the artists by purchasing the book at www.amazon.com or www.lupolit.com.